hear me okay? Hey, there we go.
You hear it now?
Yes, okay. I hear myself now. I'm doing good. Glad to be here today. And just looking forward to the program.
Yes.
And trying to deal with this cold weather outside. But I am excited to be here in Marion, Ohio.
Well, welcome to A Voice of a People.
It's good to be here. You always have the good energy, the great quotes. And looking forward to today's program. We always have a good time.
Oh, yeah. We do our best.
Yes, we do.
Right, we do our best. So, so how you been since I saw you last?
So, here's what's funny. I'm good, as always. I have no choice with the last name Good. But I think I've shared with you a few times that just about every time I've come to the program, that there's always a battle that I face. And it actually really challenges my attitude. To the point where I'm like frustrated almost when I come in here and I have to reprogram my mind and my focus. So what's interesting is today and yesterday I said to my wife, I said, you know what? We're not going to have the issues like we've been having them.
Okay.
We're going to start the day off right. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to some really good things on, you know, this morning. And so I'm doing really, really good. No issues I had to face today. My wife and I had a good time of, we usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays have a devotional time. We're reading a book together about intentional parenting. So it's just been a good day. Other than the cold weather, it's been a fantastic day. And like I said earlier, I'm just excited to be here. And thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm glad you're here. And I thought about you. I said a little prayer for you. Because I remembered you said, you know, I have such a spiritual battle, warfare,
yes.
You know, but you spoke the word. And I'm glad you did that because I was looking through your book. On page 41, and it says here, the second paragraph. Second paragraph. It says, remember.
Yes. We have a little technical difficulty.
Some technical difficulty, so just hold on a minute. Okay, we'll try it like this, okay?
Yes.
This is from the book H. Good. He is an author of Just Quit. It will make you feel better. And many of you know he has his own little audience out there. Please bear with us. We're having
some technical difficulties. Bear with us.
Yeah.
Facebook family, bear with us.
It's coming. That better?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll try it again. Hold on, listeners. Remember, we have the power. It is right underneath our noses. It is called a mouth.
Yes.
And I heard H. Good say that he said we're not going to have these problems.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you spoke to that situation before it had time to rise up.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Isn't that powerful? We must speak the word, not just hear it. Our mouth is a weapon against the enemy and the circumstances. And when we speak God's word, it shuts the enemy down. Those voices I used to hear at night would subside. The more I spoke the word, sometimes the negative voices would be so strong. I didn't know what to do. It seemed my head would explode. So God instructed me to pray in the spirit and the voices would stop temporarily. I found this interesting and realized I needed to pray like this more.
Yes. May I speak to that?
Yes, you can. I hope you do.
So here's what's interesting. I always get little reminders of whenever I speak a message or whenever I try to give, you know, some encouraging words to someone that I let people know that I have to live this and walk this out as well. Should I keep speaking?
Yes,
am I okay? Okay. And so, you know, there are times when even the author or the motivator, as I like to call myself, I have to implement what I am teaching as well. So we're still experiencing a few technical difficulties. So I will just pause for a second while we're getting these technical difficulties together. Charles Thomas in the house, twin. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. We're having some technical difficulties on this radio program. Ruth Snow, why don't you let us know where you're watching from? That would be amazing. I just want to give a shout out to those people who are watching.
All right, and I will reiterate this. You are listening to A Voice of a People here with Linda Sims, live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. And don't forget, we also stream live on www.wwgh1071.com, and that's on the web. Also, you can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. I'm reiterating that because we have had some technical difficulties, and hopefully they have been ironed out at this moment, and we will continue with our program. My guest again today is H. Good, author of Just Quit, It Will Make You Feel Better. And I always say, or not. But, you know, that's the whole focus of the book. It might make you feel better, but we don't want to be quitters in this life, right?
That's right.
Right, absolutely. We only have one life to live, and we want to do our best at that.
That's right.
Right. So, after all that you've been through, the things which led up to this book, what was the most difficult?
The most difficult thing I would say was probably just, you know, feeling embarrassed once my family and I, a lot of people that know me as a winner. Mm-hmm. And had seen good fruit in my life, things that had really been really going well in my life, you know, since I had given my life to God. And I would say one of the most difficult things that I experienced, or the toughest thing that I experienced, was just losing all of the material possessions, you know, living in our dream home at that time, and having a vision of success, and then. What I was seeing, the opposite was actually happening, and then being homeless for those few weeks that we were homeless, that was the most difficult thing. And then, you know, getting over myself and thinking about what others were thinking about me at the time. You know, when people see you go through a tough time, you never know what people are going to think. And I think I was really focused on what others were going to think about me.
Okay.
And then, you know, at the time I had my wife and three small kids. My kids are still fairly small, but just also, what was I going to tell my children? That mm-hmm. we were not going to be going back to my house or our house. That was the most difficult thing. And then, you know, telling some of the family members, my in-laws and close friends, you know, people who had seen me over the years and watched how we had, you know, been at the mountaintop, and now this is an opportunity, now, you know, we start this business and the exact opposite of what I had wanted to happen, you know, actually happened. Mm-hmm. And that was the toughest thing. And I would also say, you know, you read a paragraph out of my book talking about, you know, and you mentioned how I was saying in the book that we have the power to change circumstances right up under our nose.
That's right.
The tool right up under our nose.
Absolutely.
And so learning and understanding that the words that I was speaking at the time, what I was meditating on, the things that I was fearing most, was actually happening. And I didn't understand as much as I do today the power that we have by the words that we choose to speak out of our mouths. So so those were difficult times. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who said to me, who is also a speaker, and someone who's had incredible setbacks, when I was, you know, just feeling like a dead animal, or excuse me, like a wounded animal. Mm-hmm. He said, H, you know, as you are, you know, making changes in your personal life and your business, he said, let this be an opportunity to show others and mainly your children that you're going to lead them out of this situation.
Right.
So stop looking at all of the negative things that have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have your family. You still have a wife that loves you and supports you and believes in you, which is the most important thing.
Yes.
Outside of my relationship with God. But he said, allow this to be an opportunity for your family, for your children to see you lead them out of this.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, that's been one of the things that has helped motivate me.
Right.
As I've continued on, as I have not quit, even though I felt like quitting.
He was looking at the impact that you could have left on your children.
Correct.
Because you came into a hard time in your life and you didn't know what to do about it or how to change it or fix it, you know. And when someone, especially a child, sees their parent give up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they think, well, that's the answer. I'll stop that and I'll do something else. You know, dad didn't push his way. He just stopped went the other way.
That's right.
And it also brings to our realization how much our children watch us.
That's right.
Our attitudes, our they're watching everything.
That's right.
You know, and that was so important. That was really profound what he left with you. Yes.
Yeah. And so what I've come to understand, and you are so right. You know, one of the things that I've always wanted to be as a father is to teach my children how to win at life, how to have grit, how to have perseverance, how to, you know, when you have adversity in life, how to overcome it. And what's interesting is I had some setbacks. I had some major things that I had to overcome, you know, in my earlier years in high school and even in college. But it's so much different when you have other people who are depending on you, you know, my wife and my children. And so this was, I had never thought of teaching my children how to persevere, you know, through experiencing something that was, you know, it was tough.
Mm-hmm.
And so... You know, I always often tell people that, you know, whenever you start asking God or saying to God or, you know, that you want to, you know, teach or train people or your family that you want to teach them certain things, God is so good that he will give you on the job training. So, and I'm not saying that was God's fault, what took place several years ago, but, you know, as I yielded to God, as I refocused.
Yes.
I realized that this could be a great opportunity to show my children exactly what I wanted to teach them, you know, how to persevere.
Yes, yes.
How to make your setbacks comebacks. And so it's been a process. And, you know, most importantly, I always share with people that if you want to see change outwardly, you've got to begin to change inwardly. And so my children have seeing dad, you know, continue to grow and change and listen to people who are helping me to grow, have mentors and coaches. And, you know, any setback that you have, you can always overcome it. But it's all about that perspective. So we're still making a comeback anyway.
Amen.
I won't dominate with all the talking.
That's okay. That's all right. I mean, and pride plays such a large role in all that, wanting to give up and knowing other people watching me and have supported me and got my back, and I get up there and I fall on my face and how can I face these people?
Yes.
Not just your immediate family, but you have others, mentors out there.
Correct.
You know, your dude over here, you know, and your sister over there watching you, you know.
Yes.
And it's like pride is saying, just sneak out.
Correct.
Quietly.
That's right.
You know, and...
Or blame other people. That's what I wanted to do, too.
Yes.
I wanted to blame other people.
Right.
But, you know, I did blame people. I blamed my wife. I blamed God. There were times when I wanted to give up on God. There was times... I never really wanted to give up on my wife because I knew that a lot of the decisions that we had made in our family, that a lot of that was because of, you know, my indecision and fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
But I blamed even having children. I blamed the government, you know. I had clients that were paying me that weren't paying on time. I blamed that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I had to really look at myself
and
look at some of the decisions that I had made. And like I say to a lot of people, you know, our results don't lie.
Right.
Our results don't lie.
They don't. And that pride, casting it down, making it behave.
That's right.
That's what you did. You made that pride behave.
That's right.
Get out of the way of what God wants to do in my life.
And I had a lot of pride at that time. And, you know, it's one thing to have pride, like, you know, you want to do a good job. But the type of pride that you're referring to is the kind of pride that there were some areas in my life that I wasn't humble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I tell people all the time, and I even say this to my wife, like, I get things done. And when you start, when you're one of these people that tries to get things done at the expense of integrity, you know, you're always, there's always going to be a fall. There's always going to be a fall. But here's what's interesting. All of those things, all of those setbacks, and then, you know, understanding that I did need to humble myself and mm-hmm. get counsel and
right.
really started seeking out mentors and even some of those friends who I thought, who I felt embarrassed around because mm-hmm. they had seen such a, they had, you know, seen me fail. Some of those friends became, you know, some of my greatest brothers, guys that I'm still in contact with today. Some men who really began to stand with me.
Yes.
And encourage me.
Right.
And, you know, one of those is you know, Pastor Rowan. And right. then there's some other men who we just had that men's conference a couple weeks ago. But some of those men that came around me and just stood with me in some of the greatest, some of the toughest times that I had,
mm-hmm.
You know, that was also huge. Having some men who, you know, when I felt like a failure, they were there
right.
to stand with me. They were there to bring correction,
mm-hmm.
To challenge me, and also just to be people that would listen to me and also just pray for me.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So that's been huge also in me making this, as I like to say, this great comeback.
Remember I said when I opened up I had several
yes.
thoughts for today?
Yes.
Here's the other one. Every creative task mm-hmm. requires humility.
Yes. So true.
That's what you were just saying.
Yes.
You know, you had to humble yourself.
Had to humble myself.
To be creative. And out of that, you became an author of a great book.
Yes.
That we're still talking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
probably will be talking about for a long time because this is so right now today.
Yeah.
So many people do that.
Yes.
Just quit.
Yes.
Turn around. Go the other way.
Yes.
And they're defeated.
Yes.
They defeat themselves. And then when they quit, they don't feel like doing anything else.
That's right.
Because they didn't have the strength to stand up to adversity.
That's right. You know, as I was listening to a podcast this morning, one of the things that this gentleman was speaking about was how powerful repetition is in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a verse that you and I are both familiar with, and maybe some of the listeners, but it says faith comes by not just speaking, but it says faith comes by hearing.
Amen. Hearing.
Hearing.
Yes.
Hearing. And we don't just hear once. And what's interesting is we can listen to a message, we can watch a message, we can read a book
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, oh, I read that once, or, you know, or I've listened to that once.
Right.
But it's important that if you are one habit that I have learned and that I have implemented in my life in the last, you know, couple years is just continuing to listen to messages. And sometimes, you know, like there's a book called The Confident Solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I've continued to read that book because it's so rich. And sometimes what you saw the first time, you may see something different the next time you read something, or you may hear something differently, you know, if you listen to a message. Or even, you know, there are people that I read the Bible. I think it's the greatest success book out there. I read it continually because faith comes by hearing, and we get better by repetition. Now, mm-hmm. we understand this for those people who have played sports or played
right.
some kind of instrument or done some kind, you know, become good at something.
Right.
They
even acting.
Even acting, yes.
yes.
Acting. anything that where they've had to practice.
Right, practice.
You know, that is repetition. But
yes,
for some reason, we think that we can read a book. We think we can listen to a seminar.
Right.
We think we can listen to a message one time and be like, oh, I'm good. But what I have learned is that the key, one of the keys, one of the habits that I've had to develop so that I can stay humble,
mm-hmm.
so that I can keep that pride monster down, is by listening to messages on a repeatedly, and creating the habit of repetition in my life.
Repetition, yes.
It's so critical, because
yes,
remember
it is.
that scripture that says faith comes by
hearing
and hearing and hearing.
That's right.
And
repeatedly.
Then, and then as we're hearing and hearing and we're hearing,
right.
we're reprogramming mm-hmm. that script. Because you had said earlier about when people give up and they fail, or they, you know, they have a setback, they don't want to try again, or they
True.
Just kind of get
They're
in,
defeated.
They're defeated, yes.
They feel defeated.
Yes.
And it is a defeat.
Come on now.
We don't want people to think that it's not a defeat. It is
Correct.
A defeat.
Correct.
Because you failed at what you were trying to accomplish.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So, and you're saying, why quit?
Mm-hmm.
You may feel better, but you're not going to feel better
in
if you
end,
quit.
That's right.
You must get up and try again.
That's right. That's right. And that is so critical. And that was one of the things that I learned during that season was, you know, we talked about the words that I, you know, the power of your words,
mm-hmm.
what I was meditating on. And so I had to reprogram my thinking. If I was going to make this comeback.
Right.
You know, when I listened to different mentors and, business coaches, I was going to have to start reprogramming my thinking.
Right.
And that's not an overnight process.
True.
That is not.
No, it's not.
An overnight process.
And it takes work.
It takes work. That's
takes
right.
Work.
And being intentional.
Yes.
And having a mindset that I'm going to win. Like
right.
when you're an athlete, you know, you don't go to practice just to say you're doing, your coach has you practice over and over and over again so that you can run the plays, not perfectly, but better,
mm-hmm.
better and better each time.
Right.
And the more that you listen to different messages, the more that you read, you know, certain books and go to different seminars and replay those things over and over, you're going to get better.
Right.
But the key is, one of the keys is, you know, repetition. So anyway.
Yeah, but you're right. You're so right. You're so right. I remember taking typing and shorthand in my last year of school, 12th grade.
Yes.
Right, and typing was so hard. So when I got my first job, it was a receptionist job.
Okay.
And I really couldn't type that well. Maybe 30 words a minute, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. It was an embarrassment. But I wasn't too bad with the shorthand, which they don't do anymore, I don't
right.
think.
Right.
But we used to get the newspaper in every day. So I just decided I was going to start practicing my typing.
Yes,
right?
That's good.
So I started, you know, typing newspaper articles.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care who came in. They didn't know if it was business I was doing or what. You
right.
know, I'm just practicing,
uh-huh.
trying to make myself better.
Uh-huh.
But I worked my way up to 100 words a minute on that doggone typewriter.
Wow.
And I got some very high up
mm-hmm.
secretarial jobs
wow.
in the city.
Wow, because of repetition.
Because of repetition. I insisted
yes.
I was not going to be defeated by
yes.
that typewriter.
Yes. And that's the mindset that we have to have.
Absolutely.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Comes.
Right.
No matter what comes, that same mindset that you had with, you know, you knew you were typing at 30
words
per
minute. Yeah.
But you still got the job typing at 30 words per minute. That's impressive.
And it wasn't about typing. I got that
got
job.
You.
That was a receptionist.
Got
answer
you.
The phone.
Oh,
right?
Okay. So there wasn't a whole lot of typing involved
right.
in it. Got
That's
you.
That's right.
But you weren't going to be defeated by
no.
that. And
no.
so here's what's interesting about what you just said. I think sometimes, you know, when we start practicing or you can hear, whether you're listening to me or someone else who's motivational and talk about, you know, the importance of repetition, sometimes you begin to see results like with you and you were typing and you said, I'm going to start typing newspaper articles to increase my speed.
Mm-hmm.
As you started doing that, you started seeing results fairly quick,
oh,
it
yeah.
sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with this thing, you know, called personal development, sometimes you're not going to always see quick results.
Oh, that's true. It wasn't quick.
You know, well, but you did start seeing results.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And I think,
yes.
you know, for those people who are listening, you know, when you start doing things by repetition, changing your mindsets, changing what comes out of your mouth, instead of speaking what you see, if it's a negative situation, speaking
right.
what you want that situation to be.
Amen.
And you may not see it change overnight, or you may not see
That's
your,
true.
Yeah, you may not see your external situation change overnight or even as quick as you did with, you know, continuing to type, but you stay with it.
I stayed with
you
it.
You stay with it.
It wasn't easy. And I stayed with it. I said, I will not be defeated.
Yes.
And you have to have that mindset.
That's right.
I'm not going down without a fight.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And you stay with it and you will come out on top. And I love what you said. You were determined that this 30 words per minute, this is not going to defeat me. And you started taking action.
Yes, I did.
So that's good stuff, Miss Linda.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And the company saw that I had insisted on learning to type, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me to the college for shorthand and typing.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That is. So look at that.
Right.
Someone who was in a position to promote you.
That's right.
I don't know if you didn't mention this, but you didn't. You were just doing it because this was something that you wanted to get better at.
Right.
And someone in a position to promote you saw
that
your work ethic, saw that you were trying to improve, and they decided to invest in you.
Yes.
That's a principle right there.
Yes, it is.
That's a principle. And so here's what I was listening to at church on Sunday. Was that the pastor was talking about how, you know, there are things that can happen, whether it's in business, if you run your own business, if you are working for an organization. You know, we all have a boss, even running a business. I have people that I'm held accountable. You know, I have customers.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, when I'm doing work or when I'm reporting to someone, I'm not, as a believer, I'm not doing that as unto that man. I'm doing it as unto God.
Yes.
And so that's the principle, that I'm doing this because I want to be a good reflection. I'm doing it as unto God. And as I'm doing that, then other people are going to see your good works. And then that's where the promotion comes.
That's true. That's true.
Powerful principle. Thanks for sharing that. Why is it sometimes when I come on here, even though this is an exchange, I almost feel like... you're interviewing me, but I feel like, because you say such good things, and I'm like, Linda, let's develop that a little bit more. But anyway.
Well, that's what it's about, dialogue, right?
Yes, between there two it is, people. Dialogue. And I try not to do that. I try not to interview you, but sometimes you say such good things.
See, he thinks he knows me, right? Because we used to be co-laborers in Christ together.
Yes.
He thinks he knows me, right?
Yes, yes.
But I've been around for a minute, right?
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. I've done many things.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Shorthand at 120 words a minute.
Wow. So is that what you were working? No, shorthand is what? When you work on the
scribble.
Okay.
Hand with the little steno notebook.
Got
and all
you.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to work for Marion Power Shovel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Marion Power Shovel.
Marion Power Shovel.
Wow.
They built a drag line for NASA.
Okay. Wow.
Years ago.
Wow.
I hear they still use it.
Wow.
Even though they shut down, but it was the biggest thing in Marion. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure was. But, you know, didn't know that about me, did you?
I did not know that about you. That's why I love asking you questions when you start speaking, because you're a wealth. You've got good energy. You always got good energy, and you have great quotes. And you have some great stories as well. So,
and this sentence.
Yes.
Every creative task requires humility. A humble person dismisses nothing. What do you think about that? You're going to at least think about it.
Yes.
You're going to at least think about it.
A humble person
dismisses nothing.
Nothing.
Recognizing that there is always something to be learned.
Yes.
And if we can't get a learning experience out of life every day,
yes,
there's something to learn about this day.
That's
right.
You
know, we just can't throw this day away like, oh, it was a bad day and I'm done with it.
Yes.
No, there was something to learn.
Yes.
In this bad day that you consider a bad day.
Well, so to your point, you know, the last probably two or three times that I've come on your program,
mm-hmm.
as I shared when we first got on, that we've had some battles, some things that have happened. And I'm like saying to myself, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? And then I hear a voice saying, do I really believe when I say that there's power in my words?
Oh, really?
So that's why yesterday I said, we're not having any issues tomorrow. We're not having any issues on the way to the radio program. And my day started off good. So to your point about humility and always seeing the good, or always seeing that in every negative situation, there's always something that
learned.
We can learn.
Yes.
That is critical. And if we have that mindset, Miss Linda, if we have that mindset that there's always something to be learned, even in negative situations, it will change our perspective.
True.
it will change our perspective.
True.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Yes, go ahead.
Several years ago, I'm in Dallas, Texas, for a conference, and I was coming back, and can you believe I was tired, and so I went to my gate and fell asleep. All the people were sitting there. I've been away from my family for a week.
Whoa.
I wake up, and nobody's there.
Oh, no.
Nobody's at the gate. And looking around like, what's going on? So I saw the little, you know, the airport person just standing there. And I'm like, I've been asleep for probably about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for, you know, the airplane. And I think they told me I missed my flight. And so the next flight was like 3 or 4 hours away. And I've been gone for a week.
Oh, my.
And then I was at the wrong gate. No, that's what it was. I was at the wrong gate.
Okay.
I thought I was at the right gate. And not only was I at the wrong gate, but then I missed my flight.
Right, right.
So I was mad. I was irritated with myself. There was nothing I could do about it.
No.
I was really focusing and meditating on what had just happened. And so now I've got to wait another 4 hours. I'm not going to get home till like 1 a.m. So I took a couple deep breaths and I said, okay. I had self-talk, right? I said, what can I learn from this? And I actually prayed to God. I said, God, what's going on here? Because this has never happened where I get to the wrong gate.
Right.
And so I just decided to embrace it, and I wasn't going to let it affect my attitude
because
it was about to affect my attitude because I was just thinking about it, right?
Oh, sure, right.
We think about a negative situation long enough.
How could I do this, right?
Correct.
I'm wanting to go home,
see my family. And I knew my wife would be a little irritated with
me.
So I said, you know what? I'm going to change my perspective. What ended up happening is what I was telling myself too when I first found out that I missed my flight was that I was not going to talk to anybody on the airplane. Once I got on the airplane, just leave me alone. I'm going to sleep.
Right, right.
But my perspective had changed, and I said, there's something going on here. There's something to this. And what's really interesting, without going into all the detail, I met someone.
Mm-hmm.
We started talking on the airplane back, and this person knew we had some people in common, and it turned into a really, really good discussion. Me and this gentleman still talk on occasion today.
Okay.
But had I not changed my perspective, and I knew that And I'm not saying that God made me sleep, but I said, oh my gosh, I'm actually glad I missed my flight because of this person that I met on the airplane. You know what I'm saying? But had I not changed my perspective, I was just going to get on the airplane and like, I don't want to be talking to anybody, blah, 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 blah. So, bad day
had turned into a good day.
Correct.
And we learned something.
Yes.
There we go.
It's a principle to live by.
There we go.
Yes.
I mean, that's there's nothing more powerful than that is humility.
Yes.
You know, because wasn't that David? Wasn't he the man with all the humility?
Mm-hmm.
He would always humble himself.
That's right.
Before the Lord.
That's right.
He did great things in his life and promoted him to be king of Israel, you know. Even though he did some bad things, everything
Correct.
We do isn't good.
Right.
But God turns the bad into good.
Yes.
And he can use it for our good.
Yes. And it's that heart.
And the heart.
It's that heart. And
the heart.
You know, I believe, too, that, you know, sometimes, you know, when you hear the word humble, I know for men, sometimes we think that that means that man is not tough or soft. And I don't, they're not tough or they're soft.
Or sissy,
correct. But what I really believe is the true measure of a man is not in this facade of toughness, but in someone that can, you know, have a heart of humility. But that doesn't make you soft in any shape or form. Many of my mentors who are humble are men who are protectors. And have very firm convictions, but they recognize that they always need to be learning, and they want to keep a spirit or a heart of humility.
That's true.
When they're engaging with other people and even before God. So
it's a
good virtue. It's a good way to live.
It is. And when you talk about David and him being humble before the Lord, He was a warrior.
That's right.
You wasn't no weakling.
That's right.
You know, he was a warrior. Point.
That's right. And took out many.
Yes. His hands was bloody. God said, well, I won't even let you build, you know, build my temple. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got so much blood on your hands. He was a warrior.
Yes.
He slayed giants.
That's right. But was considered a man of humility. You're absolutely
man
right.
Man after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was no weakling. He was no sissy.
That's right.
And nor should any man see himself as that if he has to be humble.
That's
I'm
right.
sure all of us are going to be humble.
Yes.
More than once in our lifetime.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny that you say that because as I'm thinking about different men or even women who I have, because, you know, I like sports. Mm-hmm. Whenever I've seen a man or a woman or an athlete who has some humility, mm-hmm. they're confident in their abilities, but they show humility with how they engage with people. That's so much more refreshing than someone who is confident in their ability, but kind of arrogant when they engage people. And, you know, personally, I would rather be around somebody who has humility than someone who is arrogant. Because typically when you're arrogant, you're not someone that's trying to learn. You think that
you know it all.
Yeah. So humility is a lot. Yeah. It's just a better way to live.
It is a better way to live. And you feel better because not only that, you have a spirit of forgiveness.
Yeah,
you always
saying,
I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to do that.
That's
people
right.
look at you like, why you always say you're sorry?
Yeah.
But because I really didn't mean to do
correct.
That. I know what I did. You may not.
Yes.
caught it, but
yes.
I know what it was, you know.
Yes.
So, and I think that's how we win other people
mm-hmm.
to Christ.
So true.
And to some of the things that, like, being an author or
yes.
or being a good typist or
yes.
doing your shorthand or being an actress
yes.
or whatever it is, a mentor.
Yes.
You know, it all takes a humble spirit.
That's right.
Humble mind.
That's right.
So we just do what we can
mm-hmm.
to be the best we can be.
That's right.
Right. And I don't want people to think that I feel like I'm low,
mm-hmm.
but I don't mind saying I'm sorry. Even if I did
same
nothing
here.
Wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, forgive me. But what'd you do? That's okay.
Right.
I just don't want an argument, no
right.
debate going on.
Right.
No, because then that's going to lead to something else.
That's right.
Right.
That's good. Yes.
Right. Now, near contentment. When you can think of yesterday without regret and tomorrow without fear. You are near contentment.
Wow.
What do you have to say about that?
Wow. That's another good quote. Can you say it one more time, please?
Near contentment. When you can think of yesterday without regret and tomorrow without fear, you are near contentment.
Wow. Wow. Love it. I think that is the place because I think so many people live in regret when they've made bad decisions.
Right. There you go.
Or when something hasn't worked out the way they wanted it to. Mm-hmm.
That's how you became.
That's
you
right.
Pushed through and wrote
yes,
this book.
Yes. And for those of you who are watching or listening, Miss Linda just picked up my book just
amen.
Quick. It'll make you feel better. But I think that regret, it can paralyze you.
Yes. Yes, it can.
You know, regret is also rooted in fear.
Yes.
And it can paralyze you from moving forward.
Yes.
And, you know, you really have to deal with that regret. And, you know, that's a whole nother program. But, yeah, you have to deal with that regret because it is rooted in fear. And, if you live that way, you're not going to move forward. And then the other part of that quote was, can you say that one more time, please?
Think of tomorrow, the next day, without fear.
Thinking of tomorrow, ooh.
What's going to happen tomorrow when I get up? Because tomorrow has its own concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Just like today had its
that's
concern,
right.
tomorrow's going to have its concerns,
right.
you know. So I don't want to face tomorrow because I know what I had to face today.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
it can be hard for some people.
Yes.
And if we can just get ourselves in a position where we're not so concentrated on what's going to happen tomorrow. Because
yes.
tomorrow's coming whether we're here or not.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Yeah, that's the place where you want to be. And I think you can learn
yes.
from yesterday. You can learn from what took place yesterday.
Right.
But you always, you don't want to go through life. And I love what Les Brown says is that most people want to live their lives in a safe place. And so,
true. True.
There really is no safe place. You know, no longer is there where I can go work for a company for 50 years, retire, and get the gold watch. I mean, it just, there's no safe place when it comes to that. And so if we're going to live, because everybody dies, nobody's learned or has the invention on how to live forever. So we're all going to die at some point in time. And so what that means is you don't want to live a life in fear or thinking that I don't want to, you know, I'm afraid of tomorrow and, you know, and what it might bring. So I'm not going to move forward.
Right.
And so I think if you're afraid of what may happen tomorrow and living in regret, it's not a healthy place.
It's not a healthy place.
It's not a healthy place.
It is not a win-win.
Correct.
You're not in a win-win situation.
Correct, correct. And I would say probably 90% of people have this kind of mindset, you know, regarding that quote. So when you're living a life of contentment, I believe it's a much more healthy place mentally to be.
It is, and I think that's where we should strive to be,
mm-hmm.
right there.
That's right. And there are times when, you know, when you are going to take risks, you know, and I believe that's a healthy part of living as well, you know, moving forward. Yeah, and you cannot always predict what's going to happen.
If we could.
Yes.
We'd be great, wouldn't we?
Yeah,
we would. We'd be better than the psychic,
right? We would. Yep, yep. So, yeah, I think that's a place to try to live in that place of contentment, not living in regret, because then it's going to, you know, keep you from moving forward, and also not fearing what can happen tomorrow.
Amen.
And so, again, how do we get there? We get there through repetition. We get that through, you know, what we're meditating on, what we're listening to, what we're reading, what we're watching,
what we're speaking. That's true.
So that's how we combat, you know, living in regret and being fearful of what may happen tomorrow.
Wow.
Are we almost done? Are we done?
Wow. We got a few seconds.
Yeah. It was a good program today.
Oh, yeah. It was good. And hopefully some of you heard some things that will help you, or maybe you can help someone else. We're coming to the close of our program, and not only that, we're coming to the close of 2019.
Yes, we're looking forward
to 2020 and what it has to bring, so don't fret about tomorrow.
That's right.
You know, it has its own concerns, and thank you for being my guest today, H.
Yes.
Good.
May I share one thing,
go ahead.
So just wanted to let people know that they can find my book at UncoverYourUncommon.com, www.uncoveryouruncommon.com, or they can find it on Amazon. Just quit. It will make you feel better. And yes, remember that your negative circumstances, if you have negative circumstances, they are false prophets in your life.
Great. Great. Don't forget, free produce market at Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. That time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m., and that will take place this Friday, the second Saturday of every month. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Until next time, be blessed.